Good morning. I just realized without the Fornies here, since Luann's not here, that my bell ringer is not here. So it's good to see everyone on this continuing to be typical hot and humid Sunday in Ohio. It's good to have our visitors with us. We welcome Carissa Martin, our 2008 Miss Ohio, who is with us. And she has played many times over at Frank's Church, and it just worked out that we were able to have her come and be our guest organist. And we've told her that we sing quickly, and I also have to tell you that we have neighbors around the church that are listening to us sing, so we need to sing nice and loud because our neighbors are enjoying our singing in the morning. So let us praise God with joyful voice. We do have some announcements. It is good to be back with you all, number one, since I've just been gone 1 week, although we were out at Buchanan, the one. Today is communion. We have our shortened summer liturgy. That's the insert, so bring that to your attention. Again, Laughlin Chapel, is today officially the last day, or can they get Laughlin Chapel stuff too?
I'm sorry.
I know, that's all. I know, it's hard, you know. You have what? Oh, Presbyterians. Laughlin Chapel, is today the absolute last day?
We probably won't take it down until like towards the end of the week.
Okay. Okay, and drop it off over at the house, or just give Bob and Erlene a call. Yes. Well, there's the church van, so you can make your rounds around town. Okay, good. So if you still need to get something, and of course the list is a nice big bold print on the back of the bulletin, so you can't miss it. Our next communion date from today will be Sunday, September 5th on Labor Day weekend. We do have the Soma Gospel Sing coming up. That's the Sunday night before the fair opens. That's August 22nd. 7 p.m., and a donation of food for manna is joyfully accepted. This Wednesday, we will be drumming out at the County Care Home. Again, they love to have us come out and drum with them, so we'll be out there at 2:30 this coming Wednesday. Are there any other announcements? We don't have it on the calendar, and seemed like there was... Oh, I know what I'm thinking for the webinar. I didn't know if we were going to move it that week or not. We'll discuss it after, see if everybody's free Tuesday, and see about session Tuesday night. Do I have to separate the two of you? No. Then Bob will be making faces at me and telling me that we're only singing partial hymns. session, Tuesday night. We'll get together very quickly after church and make that decision. Any other announcements at all?
What was the time
on the drumming? 2:30 out at the County Care Home. Any other announcements? We welcome our visitors. Chris's parents are here with us. And, it's not Keenan. Kenan? Keenan, welcome. It's good to have you here. Welcome. Yeah. Oh, yes. And you have visitors, too. Well, I've met them so many times, it's like you hardly feel like visitors, but you are to the rest of us. So, welcome. You are settled in town now. We welcome Carol and Chuck with us as well, so, sort of. All right. Let us prepare to worship God in this holy and sacred moment. We will never have another moment like this moment. Watch and be ready, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Let us worship God. Thank you. You are invited to rise in body, heart, soul, and spirit for our call to worship. We have come today to worship the giver of life. We have come this day to give thanks to the creator of all. We have come today to worship Jesus who gave his life for us. We have come this day to sing praises to our risen Savior. We have come this day to worship God who loves. Come, let us worship in spirit and in truth and in love. Let us pray. Great God of all, we gather together to ask your blessing. You have watched us in our travels, in our coming, and in our going out, and in our returning. You have seen us and have loved us and love us still. Let your spirit dwell among us in our worshiping today and in our going out again to perform your will. We praise you, O God. We pray, we raise our prayers to you. We sing in your honor. Bless us in all we do. Amen. Let us join in singing our opening hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 196. Let us join in our confession of sin. Jesus, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof.
But only say the word, and your servant will be healed.
Let us confess our sins. God of mercy, we confess before you and each other that we have been unfaithful to you. We lack love for our neighbors. We waste opportunities to do good, and we look the other way when you cry out to us in the suffering of our brothers and sisters in need. We are sincerely sorry for our sins, both those we commit deliberately and those that we allow to overtake us. We ask you for forgiveness and pray for strength that we may follow in your way and love all people with that perfect love which casts out all fear. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. You are invited into a time of silent reflection and prayer. Amen. Hear these comforting words. If you repent and believe in God's redeeming mercy, your sins are forgiven. Trust in God's promises and begin anew your life with God and all people in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Please sit down. For illumination, Spirit of the Living God.
The first reading today comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, and then 8 through 16. That can be found on page 305 of our Pew Bible if you wish to follow along. To have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. It was by their faith that people of ancient times won God's approval. It was by faith that we understand that the universe was created by God's word, so that what can be seen was made out of what cannot be seen. It was faith that made Abraham obey when God called him to go out into the country which God had promised to give him. He left his own country without knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as a foreigner in the country that God had promised him. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who received the same promise from God. For Abraham was waiting for the city which God had designed and built, the city with permanent foundation. It was faith that made Abraham able to become a father, even though he was too old and Sarah herself could not have children. He trusted God to keep his promise. Though Abraham was practically dead, from this one man comes as many descendants as there are stars in the sky, as many as the numberless grains of sand on the seashore. It was in faith that all these persons died. They did not receive the things God had promised, but from long way off they saw them and welcomed them and admitted openly that they were foreigners and refugees on earth. Those who say such things make it clear that they are looking for a country of their own. They did not keep thinking about the country they had left. If they had, they would have had a chance to return. Instead, it was the better country they longed for, the heavenly country. And so God is not ashamed of them, for them to call him their God, because he has prepared a city for them. The responsive reading today comes from Psalm 50. That's found on page 626. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 8, and then 22 and 23. Now that's going to put the even side over here at a disadvantage, because you're going to have to jump from 8 to 22 real quick.
What about if we read the last two verses together?
All righty, we'll read the last two verses in unison. Okay.
22 and 23 we'll read together.
Okay. This side with me will be reading the odd numbers, and the even number people will go in with Pastor Susan. Okay, Psalm 50. The Almighty God, the Lord, speaks. He calls to the whole earth from east to west.
God shines from Zion, the city perfect in its beauty.
Our God is coming, but not in silence. A raging fire is in front of him, a furious storm around him.
He calls heaven and earth as witnesses to see him judge his people.
He says, "Gather my faithful people to me, those who made a covenant with me by offering a sacrifice."
The heavens proclaim that God is righteous, that he himself is judge.
Listen, my people, and I will speak. I will testify against you, Israel. I am God, your God.
I do not reprimand you because of your sacrifices and the burnt offerings you always bring me.
Listen to this, you that ignore me, or I will destroy you. And there will be no one to save you. Giving thanks is a sacrifice that honors me, and I will surely save all who obey me.
Our gospel reading this Sunday, our 19th Sunday in ordinary time, is found in the Gospel according to Luke on page 101, Luke 12, beginning at verse 32 through 40. The Gospel according to Luke, Luke 12, 32 through 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell all your belongings and give the money to the poor. Provide for yourselves purses that don't wear out, and save your riches in heaven, where they will never decrease, because no thief can get to them and no moth can destroy them. For your heart will always be where your riches are. Be ready for whatever comes, dressed for action and with your lamps lit, like servants who are waiting for their master to come back from a wedding feast. When he comes and knocks, they will open the door for him at once. How happy are those servants whose master finds them awake and ready when he returns. I tell you, he will take off his coat, have them sit down, and will wait on them. How happy they are if he finds them ready, even if he should come at midnight or even later. And you can be sure that if the owner of a house knew the time when the thief would come, he would not let the thief break into his house. And you too must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you are not expecting him. These are the words of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God of abundance, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you this day and as we go forth, your people. We pray all this in your holy and triune name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't be afraid. How many times have we heard these words in our lifetime? Think back to when you were a child and your parents whispered to you, you don't have to be afraid of the dark. You don't have to be afraid of thunder and lightning. Some of us still to this day are afraid of thunder and lightning. We just had a major storm come through. You don't have to be afraid that there's monsters under the bed. As we get older, those fears change a little, but we still carry fears. Don't be afraid you won't hit a deer coming home in the dusk at night or now in the morning sometimes. Don't be afraid of falling. Don't be afraid. Our fears do stay with us. They just change. And this story in the gospel today, our gospel that Luke tells us, again says, don't be afraid. Oftentimes it seems like Jesus will say to us, truly, truly, I tell you, you do not have to be afraid. Stop worrying. Don't be so anxious. Don't be afraid. Well, Jesus has said these words to his disciples yet again. In the Bible, we hear these words, do not be afraid, over 50 times from the Lord, speaking to Abraham in Genesis all the way to the book of Revelations. We hear them over and over again. It seems to be one of God's most favorite things to say to us, must be a reason why. Don't be afraid. In the verses right before our gospel passage this morning, Jesus is instructing his disciples, again, not to worry about anything. Don't worry about your food. Don't worry about your clothing. After all, if God will take care of the birds, the little sparrows, the flowers, the lilies of the valleys, why would God not take care of you, me, us, created in his image? God will take care of us. Do not be afraid. If the disciples are going to continue to follow Jesus, they really need to heed these words, as do we. God will take care of the birds, the flowers, and us. But Jesus steps it up today, Because he starts talking about now the kingdom of God and our hearts. He's going to the core of who we are. It's not just a mental thing now about thinking about, well, I'll just try to let go of these fears and worries and I'll be practical and sensible. No, he's now saying you must set your hearts on the kingdom of God and all things will be just fine. But the kingdom of God isn't some elusiveness that's out there someplace when we die someday, whenever that is. The kingdom of God is here now, breaking forth among us. The kingdom of God will come along just fine. So as I said, Jesus has stepped it up today, telling his disciples and us to sell what you have, give it to the poor, give it to those who need it more than you do, and focus your lives on the things that don't wear out, the things that don't break, which in our consumeristic society is difficult to do, things that won't be stolen, or if it is, your life will go on, things that you maybe don't end up selling in a garage sale or really wouldn't go for much money on eBay. Get rid of it, that stuff that you hang on to, and that is where you'll find your treasure when you've let it all go. Now, deep down inside of me, I have to confess that even on my best days, I'm still hanging on to some sort of stuff. I would imagine most of us do. It's just kind of human nature. It really is hard to let go of it. And gosh, what do you want me to sell? You may remember a couple years ago, Frank and I had a garage sale, and oh boy, it was hard for me to let go of some of my stuff. I've hung on to it for a long time. But sell it. Let it go. Get rid of it. That's what we need to do to follow Jesus. And can you hear him now? I mean, as we're panicking and freaking out and saying, but if I sell it, I might need it in a month or next week or 6 years from now. And if I get rid of it, I won't have it. And heaven knows there's always something that I've saved for 10 years that I pull out, and I am really glad that I kept it. But Jesus is saying, when are you going to get it through your thick heads? Get rid of it. Focus on the kingdom of God. And these poor disciples, again, haven't you been listening? It does get to be a bit monotonous, doesn't it? God saying, let it go, don't be afraid. Last week, our gospel lesson was the story about, a farmer that had some barns that were sort of getting dilapidated, and he rebuilt his barns and to hold all of that crop that he had, and well, we know where his story went. Don't hoard your goods. Give it to the poor. Let go. Let the Father in heaven, let our God take care of us. But honestly, we're really just not too happy to do that. It's just daggone hard. There's a folktale about a king who had a son who was always sad. And this king loved his son so much. He said, there's got to be a way that I can find to make my son happy. So he called all of his wisest advisors, his council together, and said, help me, I love my son so much. How can I make him happy? Well, they had all of their usual suggestions. Buy him the biggest, most beautiful stallion that you can find for him. And he said, no, that won't make him happy. And they said, the finest clothing, no. A new chariot, no. It won't work. Well, one of his advisors called him off to the side and he said, this is what you need to do. Go find the happiest man out there that you can and get his shirt. And bring that shirt from that happy man to your son for your son to wear, and he will be happy all the days of his life. And the king thought, this has got to work. this sounds right. So he went out, and the first place he went was to a village that he heard that there was a priest there, and that this priest was one of the happiest, most content men that people knew. So he went to the priest, and he said to him, "If I were to make you a bishop, would you become a bishop in the church? If I could make that happen." And the priest said, "Well, my goodness, king, yes, absolutely, I would become a bishop if you were to ask me." The king said, "Wonderful, let me return one day." Well, as the king left, he knew that if this priest were truly, truly happy, he would not leave where he was and become a bishop, that he would stay. So the king continued on his journey, and he traveled to another country to go see another king because he had heard that this king was so happy. And he said, "Why are you so happy here in your kingdom?" And the king replied, "I have everything I could possibly ask for. I have faithful and loyal and dutiful servants and advisors. And look at our land and our homes and my castle. What more? And look at my family out in the yard and my wife. Life is good. But I have to tell you, I'm worried that somebody might steal it, that a robber might come in the night." Again, the king said, "Thank you so much for letting me know what makes you so happy." But he knew that this king wasn't truly happy because he was worried about someone stealing what he had. Finally, as he's traveling along, he comes to a poor farmer working in a modest field out in the sun and the heat of the day. And he's singing and smiling. And the king goes up to him and greets him. And he says, "Please tell me, what makes you so happy?" And the man replied, "Look, look around me. The sky, the birds, the vineyard. I'm in creation, God's land." And the king said, "What if I were to ask you to come to my castle and bring this happiness, your singing, your smile with you? Would you please come?" And the man said, "I cannot go. I cannot leave my vineyard in this place. It brings me too much joy." Well, the king smiled and he said, "May I ask one favor of you?" And the man said, "Certainly, absolutely." The king said, "May I have the shirt off your back?" Well, the farmer opened his jacket, and he wasn't wearing a shirt to give to the king. There was no shirt of happiness to take back to his son. The happiness we seek. There's another story of a businessman that needs a vacation, and so he gets his family, his wife, his kids, and they go to this beautiful tropical paradise to have some time together as a family. And as they're out on the beach in the sun and the waves, he sees a fisherman off in the distance and decides to go talk to him because he sees this man working so hard for his catch. And he goes up to the fisherman and he says, "Why don't you hire some more men to come and help you with your catch? Then you would be free to do stuff today." The man says, "Well, I'm going to take my catch, take it to the market, and then I'm going to go spend time with my children. My wife and I have something planned this afternoon, and then I'm going to make dinner for the family. We have a wonderful day planned." And the man said, "Yes, but if you hire more men, you would catch more fish." The fisherman said, "Why would I want to catch more fish?" He said, "Well, if you catch more fish, then you can make more money and you can buy more boats and bigger boats." He said, "But why do I need more and bigger boats?" And he said, "So that you can have other people fishing for you. Because if you have other people doing your fishing for you, then you would have time to spend with your children and your wife and cook dinner for them in this beautiful tropical paradise." The two men just looked at each other, and the businessman turned to ponder his own words as he thought about his plane ride back to his work. Jesus said that where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. This is a fundamental shift in the way they looked at life and the way we look at life. What is important to us? I think it's tempting to want to switch this around and say, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. I mean, think about it. If you have a passion and love in life, and that's where you put your money, well, then surely you'll just want to put more money there because that's what you're excited about. And it's not really saying that that's not right, but that's not what Jesus said. He said that you should put your money, your stuff, whatever you're spending that money on, give that away. Give that to someone else. And then your heart will follow. The more you release that and give, the more open your heart becomes. These words were important for that early church to hear, and they are important for us to hear, because it really does mean completely and fully relying on God to provide. It's an attitude adjustment that, well, takes hard work, faith, prayer, and time. But we need to be ready, because we do not know what day Jesus will return. There's a bumper sticker that reads, "Jesus is coming back. Look busy." Now, the bumper sticker would probably be more accurate if it read, "Jesus is coming. Don't be afraid. Sell what you have. Give it to the poor. Get rid of your wealth where you want your heart to be." Now, that's more direct and to the point and more accurate, but it's a bit long to read at 65 or 70 miles an hour. Thanks be to God. Amen. You are invited to remain seated as we sing our communion hymn, "Let Us Break Bread Together," number 184. This is the time in our worship service where we enter into our time of prayer to give thanks to God and to lift up our concerns. So as we prepare for that time, you are invited into a moment of silent reflection on your prayers, God's stirrings. How has God spoken to you this day? What prayers of joy, thanksgiving, and concern have been laid upon your heart this day? Any? Joyce. Prayers for those with this storm that came through this week. It was fast and did a lot of damage. And Viola and John Patster had the trailer out at the farm, and it ended up wheels up. So they are kind of back to square one. So we continue to hold them in our prayers. Mick is back to work, and we continue to hold him in prayer since the doctor hasn't released him yet. But as Mick said, that's the doctor's problem. We hope. Okay, he can't get paid unless Mick's working. And Ashley, we do hold you in our prayers as well. Brian Tomlin's sister had to have emergency surgery, and she's in the Cleveland Clinic right now, so she could use our prayers. We continue to hold Buchanan in our prayers. We had a joyous worship a couple weeks ago with the Weber clan from two Weber clans from from Louisville, but we continue to hold them. They are now approaching the month time, and so that their last day of worship again is September 12th. Please put that on your calendars, 2:30 in the afternoon. We will be having that. We'll have worship in the morning and then a celebration of service, life, and ministry, 184 years. But continue to hold them in this prayer of time of grieving and loss and uncertainty for them. Any others? Ashley.
Last week I asked that we put lesser anointedness on our prayer list.
Okay.
Lesser, Bonnie is our volunteer at Cross Cemetery, and Lesser has Alzheimer's and had to be admitted into a care facility specifically for that. I talked to her yesterday and she said they will be reevaluated tomorrow, but she just said it's a big change.
Yeah.
She's
Oh, that's a long ways. Lester and Bonnie McGillis. Bonnie is the volunteer with Red Cross, and her husband, who has Alzheimer's disease, has been admitted into a care facility. So she's driving to Cadiz. That's a good ways, windy road. So hold them both in prayer, and he's going to be reevaluated. Any others? Yes, Carol. Yes. So Carol is lifting up in prayer that they're glad to be semi-sort of settled, unpacking boxes, as we know. And they're right over the hill behind the Mooses, so good friendships are close. Well, it'll have its good moments and bad. And for those of you that are also visiting, I repeat most prayers so that they get on our CD ministry, which we do have. So if you'd like a CD of today's service, just hang around for a few moments and you can get that. It is a gift and a blessing to have Tom back there doing that every week. And I know there's a few other hands that are starting to get involved and learn things when he can't be here, especially in August during fair time. But we continue and always hold those in prayer that are not with us, either because they're out and on the road and traveling. Luann's not here because she's on vacation with family, and those who are homebound and will be worshiping with us. They're always in our hearts. Any others? Again, let us have a moment of silence as we prepare for prayer. Our most loving God, we give you thanks and praise on this glorious day, in this holy and sacred moment in your creation that is filled with possibility if we just let go and let you have this moment, have this day, have our lives. May we see your kingdom around us in every person and every moment and every locust and every bird and every flower. May we share that joy with others and invite them to stop and look and see your beauty, your blessings in the world. We ask your strength and courage and wisdom for us in the times when it gets foggy and we get worried and anxious, and it is hard for us to see your kingdom, your love, and to feel it because we are weighed down by earthly stuff, things, responsibilities, money concerns, illness, all the uncertainty that life here brings. But remind us that you are always present, and that you are always working through everything for the good of humanity, the good of creation, the good of all the universe. For all is yours, O Lord, created by your word, your breath. So breathe into us this day, O Lord, new life, new freedom, for the possibility that you have created within us. We ask, O Lord, that you receive our prayers this day, all those that have been spoken, and that you hear the special prayers of those that we lift up by name, friends, family, friends of friends, people we do not know, but they have been called to be prayed for in this family of faith. So hear us as we pray for Brenda Rice and Bill Rice, Gina Most, Sarah Hall, Glenna Joy Graham, Virginia Lee Morris, Jim Newhart, Reverend Robert Phillips, Sandra Turner, Tom Billings, Mary Jo Hammond, Jack Hammond, Sarah and Sean Galilean, Aiden Russell, Mike Caravelle, Carly Sue Williams, Ashley Shoemaker, John Patster, Mary Morris, Ronald Bub Howell, Linda Hanna, Jennifer Edgel, Monica Long, Rick Williams, Sally Jackson, Gabriel Kayetta, Chuck Henning, Donna Beery, Mitch Clift, Danny Olam, Bob LaCrone, Isla Forney, Cecile Waters, Bill Hoag, Joe Fetty, Mike Hines, Charlotte Schuerman, Linda Andrews, and all who ask us to pray for them, O Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts this day. And now let us join our voices as one and pray with the disciples through all the ages the prayer of our Lord, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. With gladness, let us present the offerings of our life and labor to the Lord.
Confess our faith and affirm our faith through the Nicene Creed, found in the front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For the sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. If you would, your insert for the communion liturgy. Luke the evangelist wrote of our risen Lord, risen Savior, who at table with two of the disciples took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them.
Their eyes were opened, and they recognized the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to God.
Let us give thanks to God Most High.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Eternal God, who has created the heavens and the earth, giving breath to every living thing, we thank you for all the gifts of creation and for the gift of life itself. We thank you for making us in your own image, for forgiving us when we act as though you have no claim on us, and for keeping us in your steadfast care. We rejoice in Jesus Christ, the only one eternally begotten by you, who was born of your servant Mary and shared the joys and sorrows of life as we know it. We remember Christ's death, we celebrate Christ's resurrection, and in the beloved community of your church, we await Christ's return at the end of history. We take courage from the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit in our midst. We offer you our praise for women and men of faith in every age who stand as witnesses to your love and justice. With all the prophets, martyrs, and saints, and all the company of heaven, we glorify you. We remember that on the night of betrayal and desertion, Jesus took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." By eating this bread and drinking this cup, we proclaim Christ's death, celebrate Christ's resurrection, and await Christ's coming again.
Amen.
Gracious God, we ask you to bless this bread and cup and all of us with the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Through this meal, make us the body of Christ, the church, your servant people, that we may be salt and light and leaven for the furtherance of your will in the world.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, because it is one loaf from which we partake. There is one cup, the cup of blessing, the cup of the new covenant, the blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of our sins. This bread and this cup, these are the gift of heaven, the bread of life. Come, for all things are ready. This is the cup in the new covenant. Christ's blood shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. This is the bread of life, the body of Christ broken for us. Take and eat. You are invited to stand that we may join our voices in our prayer of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Bountiful God, we give you thanks that you have refreshed us at your table by granting us the presence of Christ. Strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, and send us forth into the world in courage and peace, rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go forth into the world in peace, be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And now, our closing hymn, and I know if I don't cut some verses out, I'm probably going to be in trouble. So, how many verses do we have? What page? 152. It is a warm, muggy day, and I know you all are hungry beyond the spiritual hunger to the earthly bodily hunger. You know what? We can do all four verses quickly.
Take my life and carry me, consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all until we meet again. Amen.